The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on His own eternally. Nor earth nor hell can it remove, long as He lives His own here love.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 4.
A holy air is breathing round.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Christ's Fellowship of Love. I shall be reading from several versions of the Bible, which I will announce as we go along, and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the King James Version, Job. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. Psalms. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Song of Solomon. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? O thou that wert as my brother, I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. O daughters of Jerusalem, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. And from God's Word Bible, Psalms. Uncover my eyes, so that I may see the miraculous things in your teaching. I'm a foreigner in this world. And from the New Living Translation, Psalms. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Romans. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons, neither our fears, for today nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And King James Version, Hebrews. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great sight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, see that ye abound in this grace also. Prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathereth little had no lack. Ephesians. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Loved, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And from the Message, Ephesians. Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free. Masters, it's the same with you. No abuse, please, and no threats. You and your servants are both under the same master in heaven. He makes no distinction between you and them. In King James Version, Romans. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And from the Message, Philemon. I keep hearing of the love and faith you have for the Master Jesus, which brims over to other Christians. And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do, and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, You have no idea how good your love makes me feel. Doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. In line with all this, I have a favor to ask of you. Onesimus was useless to you before. Now he's useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you. Maybe it's all for the best that you lost him for a while. You're getting him back now for good. And no mere slave this time, but a true Christian brother. That's what he was to me. He'll be even more than that to you. So if you still consider me a comrade in arms, welcome him back as you would me. If he damaged anything or owes you anything, chalk it up to my account. Do me this big favor, friend. You'll be doing it for Christ. But it will also do my heart good. I know you well enough to know you will. You'll probably go far beyond what I've written. And by the way, get a room ready for me, because of your prayers, I fully expect to be your guest again. And King James Version, Ephesians. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling favor. And from Science and Health, mortals can never know the infinite until they throw off the old man and reach the spiritual image and likeness. How shall we declare him till in the language of the apostle, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Would existence without personal friends be to you a blank? Then the time will come when you will be solitary, left without sympathy. But this seeming vacuum is already filled with divine love. When this hour of development comes, even if you cling to a sense of personal joys, spiritual love will force you to accept what best promotes your growth. Friends will betray and enemies will slander until the lesson is sufficient to exalt you. For man's extremity is God's opportunity. The author has experienced the foregoing prophecy and its blessing. Thus, he teaches mortals to lay down their fleshliness and gain spirituality. This is done through self-abnegation. Universal love is the divine way in Christian Science. Trials teach mortals not to lean on a material staff, a broken reed which pierces the heart. Sorrow is salutary. Through great tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Trials are proofs of God's care. Spiritual development germinates not from seeds sown in the soil of material hopes, but when these decay, love propagates anew the higher joys of spirit, which have no date of birth. Each successive stage of experience unfolds new views of divine goodness and love. Happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. It is unselfish, therefore it cannot exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. Human affection is not poured forth vainly, even though it meet no return. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. The wintry blasts of earth may uproot the flowers of affection and scatter them to the winds, but this severance of fleshly ties serves to unite thought more closely to God. For love supports the struggling heart until it ceases to sigh over the world and begins to unfold its wings for heaven. To happify existence by constant intercourse with those adapted to elevate it should be the motive of society. Furthermore, the time cometh of which Jesus spake, when he declared that in the resurrection there should be no more marrying or giving in marriage, but man would be as the angels. Then shall soul rejoice in its own, in which passion has no part. Then white-robed purity will unite in one person masculine wisdom and feminine love, spiritual understanding, and perpetual peace. Spirit will ultimately claim its own, all that really is, and the voices of physical sense will be forever hushed. This human sense of deity yields to the divine sense, even as the material sense of personality yields to the incorporeal sense of God and man as the infinite principle, an infinite idea, as one Father with his universal family, held in the gospel of love. The Lamb's wife presents the unity of male and female as no longer two wedded individuals, but as two individual natures in one. And this compounded spiritual individuality reflect God as Father, Mother, not as a corporeal being. In this divinely united spiritual consciousness, there's no impediment to eternal bliss, to the perfectibility of God's creation. This spiritual holy habitation has no boundary nor limit. But its four cardinal points are, first, the word of life, truth, and love. Second, the Christ, the spiritual idea of God. Third, Christianity, which is the outcome of the divine principle of the Christ idea in Christian history. Fourth, Christian Science, which today and forever interprets this great example and the great exemplar. This city of our God has no need of sun or satellite, for love is the light of it, and divine mind is its own interpreter. All who are saved must walk in this light. Mighty potentates and dynasties will lay down their honors within the heavenly city. Its gates open towards light and glory, both within and without. For all is good, and nothing can enter that city which defileth or maketh a lie. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.